Up the reading here at Exodus 28, and y'all, I will probably read a lot until we get to chapter 31. It'll be just a lot of just skimming probably. But now I want to give you some context here. We are reading mail that is all this is to Israel doctrinally. But what I want to do is remind you as we go through, as you read about the tabernacle, we had talked about earlier how the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 10. It's a picture of the Christian, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and verse 4. And it's a type of creation. Now look, why? Because there's three levels to that thing. And then we talked about how your body, you are a body. You have a body. You are a soul. The Bible says the Lord God breathed in the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. So you are a soul. You have a body. And God gives you a spirit. So you're three parts, like this tabernacle has three parts. The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is a type of the Lord Jesus. And then we're going to read about this priest here, Aaron and his sons, and that types the Lord. So the Bible has layers to it. It has a surface layer, it has a deeper layer, and it goes on deeper. Well, that way you can keep reading that Bible over and over again and just get more and more and more as you go. But now as far as for Israel, we're going to see some contrast as we get into these future chapters here that's going to be different from them to us, and we make the contrast, and get the practical application out of it. The Bible says in Exodus 28 verse number 1, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." Now, when I read that verse right there, I see a lot in those two. But here, of all the people, God chooses those people to be the priests. Aaron, he could have chosen whoever else. But you know what? It's up to God who he chooses. You know what's wrong with this world right here? That the world wants to choose who they want to choose. You know what you're going to find out? This is something I believe that people miss out on. I believe that some of the most great, and I'm not just saying that just because y'all are sitting here, but some of the people you least expect whenever you get to heaven, they're going to be loaded down. Just loaded down. Some of these little old ladies been sitting in the Sunday school class teaching people and thinking, well, I've just got this one or two. Guess what? God don't work like man does. Man says, what he or she's not doing as much as what somebody else can be doing. God says, I said if you're faithful in a little bit. You got somebody, they're just sitting in their house and they think, well, nobody's paying attention to me, but God is. And guess what they're doing? They just got maybe a prayer ministry and God's saying, I'm watching every bit of that. When you get to the other side over there, you ain't going to believe what all is going to be over there. Why? Because we don't reckon things like God does. God took and he said, I want Aaron and his son. Now, Aaron made some pretty bad mistakes, wouldn't you say? Here in just a little while, we're going to read about Aaron making a false calf over here for the people. Don't you know God knew when he chose Aaron, what Aaron was going to do before he ever did it, he still chose him? Now, sometimes, don't you know, you've messed up, and you say, I've done this, and I've done that. Guess what? You're going to mess up again. Right. I hate to tell you, guess what? Yeah, you messed up last week, or you messed up the week before. That's the devil saying, look what you did. Mm-hmm. Now who are you going to tell about the Lord? That's the devil doing that.
Amen.
Why? Because Aaron, when God chose Aaron, he knew what Aaron was going to do in Exodus 32. He still chose him to serve him. Mm-hmm. God don't look at things the way you do. You know what God's doing? God's seeing what you're going to look like 1,000 years from now.
Right.
Before one of my favorite parts is he comes over there and he says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Way before Gideon won the first battle. Why? Because God's seeing him way over there on the other side. Way over there. You know what God does? God knows you, what you're going to be like 10,000 years from now.
Amen.
He's seeing you in a different way. God don't see anything. As far as for me, all I can see is this present time. God's seeing everything past, present, and future all at once.
Amen.
He's seeing it all at one time. That's God. He can do that. Here's another thing. Verse 2, for glory and for beauty at the bottom of that verse. You got some of these people in this old crazy nutcase. He comes up and he says, it's a sin if a woman wear earrings. You got a hole in your head big enough to drive a freight liner through. Why? Because for glory and for beauty, don't you think God allows a little bit of outward beauty? Long as you don't put that above God, there's nothing wrong with having a nice shirt on. Or so. Some of these people make out like you're just supposed to have some patches in your shirts and all this, which I wear holy jeans around all the time because I know I get filthy. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with dressing nice. For glory, and for God can appreciate that as long as you're doing it for God. That's like preaching. Do you know I could come up here and preach in my overalls and I'd be fine. But you know what? You're representing. I feel like, hey, I better dress pretty nice. Why? Because if the world can wear their very best going out, you better believe I'm fixing to put on something nice to come up here and preach.
Amen.
Why? It's nothing wrong with a little glory and a little beauty. Don't let anybody guilt trip you into thinking, well, you got a nice ring you got there. Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a nice ring. Thank you. Smart aleck. Some people are just mean, man. You know what I've learned? Some people, and y'all, when I was younger, I did not believe this. Some people do not want to see you do well.
Right.
I didn't understand it. You get older. And man, you pull up, you got to, And you got nice shoes on, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, exactly right. it's right. These clothes we got, God allowed that. Well, if God allowed it, God allowed it.
That's right.
You see, people don't like the way God works oftentimes. When God allows you, if God allows you to do that, you just praise Him. And if somebody don't like it, that's their business. That's between them and God. You just keep on saying, hey, I'm just thankful God blessed me. It's His. For glory and for beauty. Nothing wrong with that, long as we don't put it above God. You see these things in here. Look at verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit, my lowercase s right there, of wisdom. That's God is able to take a man and put a spirit of wisdom in him. You know what? Some people, you ever know, some people just naturally got certain, they're naturally good at certain things. We'll read in Exodus 31 later on, some of them were cunning to work with certain things, some of them brass and things like that. God, just, that's up to God right there.
That's right.
Y'all, some people, they can do anything.
Right.
There was a guy in college, I met this guy, the guy fascinated me. He literally could, if you put him in front of something, he could do it. And I thought, well, how long did it take you to learn that? Well, I just thought some people can do that.
That's it.
But that's up to God. That don't mean they're any better than the person that can't do one thing. Just look, if I can't do nothing else, I can do this one thing. Guess what? Do that one thing well. And God will reckon that just as much as somebody who, don't think they're better than you just because they can pick up and do whatever. God is the one that puts it in. He said, I filled him with a spirit of wisdom. Now, just with a little time, this is something we need. I want to go over a few verses with you about wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know one thing that this world is lacking? And I hope that if nothing else, the youth that God will let come here and our kids and we got a few younger ones. They're not kids, but younger ones here tonight. And I hope they come up and God fills them with wisdom. And anybody else look, we want to see people have wisdom. But it's got to be godly wisdom. Why? The Bible says there's wisdom that comes from this world, but there's the wisdom that comes from above, the Bible says. And God can help you to have that wisdom. And we need to look at a few verses about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. See, man has wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you know that God can take you and fill your human spirit with the power of God, and it's way better than what man's wisdom can have? Y'all, man has a lot of wisdom. You listen to some of these people like that old that Stephen Hawking. That guy hated God, lost his ball on the highway, but he's smart. He's a scientist and everything. But y'all, he had man's wisdom. But you know what God does? God can give a power to you. And you may say something simple. See, he said, my speech was not enticing word. You can say something simple, and that Spirit of God is able to have the power to go down into that heart.
Amen.
And it may just be something simple, like what I was telling you about what that Indian said earlier about the caterpillar and the butterfly. And y'all, that thing goes down in there, and God is able to take a simple thing that you said and get down in the heart of somebody. That's what it's going to take. Look, I used to think, and I don't get me wrong, I love to study, but I used to think, man, if I studied and I presented this thing just right, and man, if it was just this certain way, and maybe it would convince. Not enticing word. Look, that's fine. If you want to preach and man study and try to study to help people, that's fine. But without the power in that spiritual way, it doesn't matter what you say. Only the Spirit of God. Y'all, we've got family members we love, and we got friends we love, and we love to see them saved and stuff like that. I've learned this. You're not going to convince them. You're not going to. It's going to take the Spirit of God giving you the wisdom that comes from Him to be able to get inside that heart. A lot of times, as long as we're doing it in the man's way, you can talk till you're blue in the face. And look, you know what I did? I found this for me. I made it worse. Why? Because I tried to get that man's wisdom in there. Man's wisdom. Look also at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, I said 8. It's probably, I forgot what verse it was. It was in that, maybe it's going to be, I'll just read 5 and 6. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. See, what I'm telling you is man has a wisdom, it's the wisdom of this world. We need to find godly wisdom. So what is it? Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll close with this verse right here. But I hope this, what little bit we got into tonight, will be a help to you. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. He filled those guys with the Spirit of wisdom. Now what we need is this right here. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, watch this, the lowercase s, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you know how to get that spiritual wisdom? The more you fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more you know about Him, and the more you find out about Him, and the more you just, your eyes will be open more and more and more. That's that heavenly wisdom. I'll give you one. I was studying, there's this one little girl, and this preacher would talk to her, and she'd been studying her Bible a whole lot and everything. And he was asking about flowers one time, and then this one time he was talking to her about just being godly. And he said, what have you found out about being godly? She said, well, I found out one thing about being godly. God forgives a lot. That guy, he just, why? You think about it, God so loved that He gave, why? So He could forgive. And while you're there, I'll show you a godly character. And I tell you something, when I say some of this stuff, look, I wish I could stand up here and tell you I've arrived, but I've still got a long way to go. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 32. I could preach on this whole chapter tonight, but verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Man, that tender heart, look at that. Yo, that's convicting me. Why? It's so easy to be hard hearted in the world today. Alright, it says tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That Ephesians 4:32 is a very convicting verse. You know one of the most godly characteristics there is just forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Bible tells you if we don't forgive, Satan can get an advantage on us. Over in Corinthians. What I'm trying to tell you this, that the more you learn about God, the more we will desire those heavenly characteristics. And the more we'll have wisdom in situations. You know what I found out a lot of times in a situation? I behave like, I wish I had a better word, like an ignoramus. You know what's happened? I forgot how would the Lord Jesus Christ How would he deal with it? And that I lose that connection to heaven. Even if it's just for an instant, I lose that wisdom. And man, I said, Lord, all it was I used man's way of thinking instead of God's way of thinking. I said, Lord, I wish I hadn't done that. And that's when you go back and say, Lord, here I come again. And you know what he does? I'm glad he's back. Come on in here, let's talk about this. Y'all, what a Lord. What a blessing. Why? He's a merciful God. And I'm going to tell you this right here. I thank God that God isn't like me, that I'm supposed to be like Him.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. You know what'll help you daily? Saying, Lord, I want to be more like You and less like myself.
Amen.
I want to have them. Now, I've got a long way to go, but I'll tell you this right here. God can fill you with that according to that verse we just read in the Old Testament and according to that verse there. And I know I need more of it. And I know our churches need more of it too. Because I tell you this, especially as you see this old hard-hearted world getting hard-hearted. Say, Lord, I want to be tender-hearted. And where that old heart gets hard again, Lord, just take that hammer of the Word of God and get it back loosened up again. And He'll do it for you. I know He's definitely mighty to do. He's mighty to save, but He's mighty to do those other things too.
Amen.
We'll close out there.